Hey, good afternoon. You're here with Bike Sport Radio, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. It's Monday, January 7th, as we overlook the snow. It's snowing here in Los Angeles. Actually, in the mountains, it's snowing, not here at the studio. So, January 7th. Happy New Year to everybody. Hope you had a great New Year's Day ride. And today, we're going to have some race results and a race report from the San Bruno Hill Climb. Also, a call-in from David Kieran of Big Orange Cycling, a new racer. He's going to tell us about how his cycling career started and how it's progressing during the season. We'll have him continue to call in during the year of 2013. And also, Robert Sandoval in the studio today on our first product review segment. We're going to review Saigo Lights. We've got a special model. And actually, Robert, what's the model we're going to be reviewing?
Got a couple of models in here today. I'm looking at the CycleLite Metro, a little 300 lumens LED. And we've got a CycleLite Trident X 1100. And we'll talk about the advantages of each one for whatever you choose to use them for.
All right, great. We'll get into that later. So let's go to some race results right now. We got a report from the San Bruno Hill Climb in Northern California.
All right, hey, the Northern California San Bruno Hill Climb held on New Year's Day. Adrian Costa threw down the accelerator into the senior ranks. And Beth Newell also displayed some super smooth climbing rhythm after a start line solo attack up the 3.7-mile San Francisco climb. Costa's the 16-year-old prodigy. The NorCal racing scene is known is a big prospect for the future. And Adrian is going to continue to ride as a Garmin development rider for 2013. His attack in the men's race came during a quick lull, but a few minutes into the power surge filled combined Category 1, 2, and Category 3 men's fields. And there weren't more than about 25 at the start line, but it was a significant draft that could be had in the group as big, strong riders like Frond Brothers and Cat 3 Hurtlocker Hans Detlefsen, he was the winner of a tight threes race, and a second head of Chica Sexy's Steve Torturelli. Costa's first attack transformed into a loose-reined gallop that split the field as riders found their limits and ate sour soup as gaps created and agonizingly opened to expose fitness groups, wantaholics, and the pure beasts who just don't know anything other than pointing at something and pedaling their ass off to it. Beth Newell's race began about 8 minutes after the men's elite field, and from the whistle, like literally, she was clipped in like it was Kentucky World Cyclocross Cup 2013. Snap and a motivated pursuit start, and Newell would find herself with a few seconds gap in just a few dozen meters, which she took for time to put wood to fire and charge hot and solo up the wind swirly sweeps of San Bruno's climbing. Hitting it solo at 17:25 is no joke on the Strava Suffer Meter, so quite well, Beth Newell. In the men's race, the favorites were clearly at the front and ready for business after the initial few surges of the Brave and the Crazy. Costa's move, just after the first third of the race, really did shatter the field for good, but not in a mega-clawed knockdown, the Forest kind of way. His attack was more of a jumping probe that went into orbit, burning everybody all up to try to match his speed. And Chris Pipps, the classy Thirsty Bear champion, gave unrelenting chase, but it was a legit young couple of riders who beat him to the top of San Bruno this year. He's won enough of these hill climbs to nod his hat at two very young, strong riders. Bridging DaCosta over the brutal exposed mini plateau midway through the race was Jonathan Teeter of Mark Pro Strava. And Teeter would grab young Costa at the swirly Ranger entrance to the San Bruno climb proper, but it was a matter of pure mathematics. As Costa's draw-dropping power-to-weight ratio whip-cracked him up that climb ahead of Teeter. So, Adrian Costa picking up that win with a time of 14:49.5, riding for Slipstream Craddock Junior Development, with Jonathan Teeter coming in second with a time of 15:12, riding for Mark Pro Strava, Chris Pipps third place with a time of 15:15, and in the women's, of course, Beth Newell picking up that win with 17:25, followed by Jennifer Zierk, riding for Pinnacle Training Systems with a time of 19:55. Juniors 15:18, Trevor Ellsworth picking up that win, riding for Bear Development with a time of 16:09. Category 3-4 women, Cara Fitchett picking up the win with a 19:30. And in the men's category 5s, Jim Wimpy with a time of 16:08 was your winner. Cat 4s and 5s, Masters 55 and over. Cushman and Wakefield Racing's Daryl Nelson coming in at 18:07. Masters 45s, Cat 4s and 5s, Michael Ewing riding for Body Concepts, picking up that win with a time of 17:20. And in the Masters 35s, Category 4s and 5s, David Collette with a time of 17:07. And in the Masters 45s, Cat 1, 2, 3s, Webcor Alto Velo's Tracy Caldwell with a time of 16:02. And the Masters 35s, Cat 1, 2, 3s, Barclay Racing's Scott Bromstead picking up that win 16:41 at the San Bruno Hill Climb. And that was one of those mass starts where riders start in groups rather than individual single starts. San Bruno Hill Climb, January 1st in Brisbane, California. Complete results at usacycling.org.
Okay, that was the San Bruno Hill Climb in Northern California. That's a New Year's Day special they do each year. Got some upcoming events. This is the third annual NorCal versus SoCal California State Cyclocross Championships. This is a points series, Northern Cal riders versus Southern Cal riders. Really cool event. They got bagpipes, they got a drumline, beer garden, and they claim to be the hardest cyclocross race in California. Brought to you by Sam Barn Promotions and the Kern Wheelman Bicycle Club. That's in Bakersfield. NorCal versus SoCal Cyclocross Championship. So bring your teams out. Try to score points for your for Northern Cal or Southern Cal. The points are scored based on what it says on your license, your race license. It tells which district you're in, whether you're in Northern Cal or Southern Cal. Anybody can race, so if you're out of those districts, you can still race. I guess you'll just take points away from the guys who can earn them. Something like that. So, yeah, check out kernwheelman.org. Action Sports is one of the event promoters and Sam Barn Productions. You can also register online as well. Let's see if we can get the actual website. There's also camping just 2 miles from the race course there in Bakersfield. The venue's at Hart Park, and that's just north of Bakersfield. I believe it's towards, Oildale, I think? Yeah, in the Oildale area. So check it out, NorCal versus SoCal Cyclocross State Championships. Sam at AmesViolins.com. For details, if you want to get in touch with the promoter direct. So, we got some more upcoming events coming at you now.
Okay, what do we got in the upcoming events? We've got in Southern California the Poor College Kids Road Race coming up on Saturday, January 26th. Promoted by UCSB Cycling, racing for men's category 5s, 3s, 4s, women's 3s, 4s, pro women, masters 35, 45, and 55. Again, that's January 26th. New race course this year up in Santa Maria in Sisquoc County, 14-mile loop on Dominion Road in Foxen Canyon. UCSB Cycling. Email address is siladitya, that's siladitya.day, D-E-Y, cycling@gmail.com or details and links at ucsbcycling.org. And in Northern California, coming up in Patterson on Saturday, January 19th, the Early Bird Road Race, Early Bird Road Race 2013. Racing for all categories up to Masters 45s. This is in Patterson in Stanislaus County, Northern California. Promoted by Velopromo and Golden Chain Cyclists. Visit bikeridge.com for online registration and full details at velopromo.com for the Early Bird Road Race coming up January 19th. And following that, on January 20th, the Early Bird Criterium training season is in full swing. This is a series of races, January 20th, the next one, and January 27th, and also February 3rd. There's clinics, mentoring, and training races as well. This is in Fremont, California. Registration at Dumbarton and Campus Road in the Ardenwood Industrial Park. Early Bird Criterium training season. Again, register at bikeridge.com for that, and visit velopromo.com for further details. For details on all Northern California races, visit ncnca.org. And for Southern California, scnca.org for all road and track racing.
Okay, that's upcoming events. We've also got off-road events. Robert's got something on, Southridge?
Yeah,
tell us about Southridge.
Team Southridge USA starts off their winter series this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Whoa.
Ooh, that was me.
Brad. Yeah, they're going to have their, I've lost track of how many years. I've been racing with them since year one, but.
Donnie Johnson, yeah.
He's Jackson.
Don Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another guy.
Yeah, that's a different guy. No, they're going to do cross country Saturday morning. I think it's followed by Super D in the afternoon, and then Sunday's their downhill day. And it's a four-race winter series starting this weekend, the 12th, the 11th and 12th, and then skip a week. It's every other week. So you get a week to recover, and then you go back in and let's see. If I'm trying to think of my calendar real quick. I know we got this weekend and then the 20th. Let's see. But, yeah, great course. What I like about it is real technical mountain bike riding and racing. You know, it's not just fire road and, you know, sprint as hard as you can. You actually got to have some skill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Cool. SouthridgeUSA.com for details on that, the race series. And they do have more events coming up. Their winter series, March 9th and 10th also.
Yeah, that's going to be the final.
Okay.
Their website is kind of, scroll all the way to the bottom when you check out the website on the schedule, and then it'll give you the schedule. So we got the January 12th and 13th. Then we got January 26th and 27th. February 9th and 10th will be race 3. And February 23rd, 24th is race 4. March 9th and 10th will be race 5. And that's just their winter series. They're connected with a bunch, you've got racing from now through summer with them alone. And it's the same venue out in Southridge. They just change up the course a bit, but, the mountain is still there. Anyone who's raced it knows it's a big, giant rock. Race to the top of the rock and race on down to the bottom of it.
And that's good for the formation too on the single track. So don't let the winter scare you away, Southern California people who are scared to death of a little raindrop. You know, we have, oh my God, storm watch. There's a puddle of water on the ground. No, this course, even when it's wet, it's primo. It's a sandy kind of formation.
I think it's actually faster when it's wet.
Mm-hmm.
And I love racing it. I mean, the thing that can get you there is the wind, so you better bring your legs, because when the wind kicks up, that can get you. But otherwise, it's an awesome climb right off the start, and it's going to push your lungs to its max. And, it's a pretty – I mean, they've grown. They've gotten really big. So let's get some XU riders out there and have some fun this weekend.
Cool. All right, so we've got Bike Sport Radio is also about non-bike racers, and we've got a new product review segment coming up. We've also got some sounds from a sad and unfortunate memorial ride for Mr. Steve Bowen, the owner of Bicycle Center in Rancho Palos Verdes. He's been owning that shop for many, many years, and unfortunately he's no longer with us. The shop we hope to see open soon. Some people were guessing 250 riders at that memorial ride, so we'll have some sounds of that coming up later. And still waiting for David Karen. We hope to hear from him as well. David Karen with Big Orange Cycling. And unfortunately, I don't have his number. If I did, I would give him a call and say, hey, you're on the air at Bike Sport Radio. But I do not. Oh, I do have his phone number. Nope, I have only his email. All right, well, next time, David. David's a ongoing feature of Bike Sport Radio. So let's just head on into our next segment, product review we've got coming up with Robert Sandoval. Thanks for coming in, Robert.
Oh, no problem. It's been a pleasure. It's always fun being here. And just taking this show to another level. You know, Brad's doing an awesome job, but let's get out there and get some. Oh, I hear a phone ring.
Hey, that could be David Karen right now.
Hold on before we get started.
Bike Sport Radio.
Hey, hey, this is David Karen. I thought Brad had my number.
Oh, yeah. Hey, this is Brad. Brad of the Bone here, and you are on the air on Bike Sport Radio. Yeah, thanks. Sorry about that, man. I didn't have your number, and we've got a full show today, so it would have been okay. But go ahead and tell us how your season's going. This is, segment number two? You've been on only once before, I think?
Yeah, hey. So real quick, I just decided to do one of those, upgrade crits they have out and over there in Dominguez Hills down there.
Oh, yeah, Carson. Carson, California, yep.
Yep, yep, and so we did, so I decided to do all three of the Cat 5 races. And a couple of my teammates with me. And
three races in the same day?
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet. Good for you.
So, you know, they were, you know, what it came down to was, you know, you can always be in better shape, but it wasn't that I couldn't keep up. What happened was, I've come to find out in these crits, and that's what I need to work on, it's bike handling skill. What I found myself coming into turns towards the front and coming out of, you know, after a couple of turns, I'm suddenly in the middle and the back through no effort, I'm off to the side, so I'm not placing myself properly.
Right. Going wide or going narrow? Going inside or outside?
Really more probably going more wide,
going
although
wide.
I tried going inside more. And, you know, a lot of it's the fear and just, you know, the unknown and everything. It got sketchy at times. It was a crash or two.
That's a common thing when, with new racers, they hit those turns and it's like, whoa, I don't want to go that sharp. And they go wide and stuff happens in the turns, especially in the crits. I mean, I've been racing for 25 years and I'm still terrified of the turns.
What I found out, and the thing is, I do have a power meter, so I was able to tell, and the race I did the worst in was the one I used up the most power, and it's simply because I was just out in the wind too much, which really just kind of just tired me out. If I had stayed within the pack, it would have been fine, but because of my skill, I couldn't necessarily, stay within there and find a good spot and stay there. And, you know, that's, and the other, you know, I witnessed a couple of crashes, but one of the situations was going around one of the fast turns about, 30 miles an hour is coming off a downhill. One guy in front of me, I think he may have tapped on his brakes or something, but I just found myself going through that fast corner on only my front wheel.
Oh.
And I had actual time to think about how I'm going to crash. My back wheel is in the air, and I'm like, okay, how am I going to, where am I going to end up here, Can I slide out? Can I tuck and roll? I actually had a couple seconds to think about.
Were you on the inside or outside or middle?
It was at the outside at that point, just luckily recovered from it, thank goodness, and just kind of, I think I just kind of just, got my weight back a little bit and kind of stomped on the pedal to get the forward momentum and kind of
got
there
out
you
of go. It. See, now that kind of shit builds your confidence in a race. When you do something like that, you pull it off. That really builds confidence.
That was the last race, and so because of that whole thing, I thought I almost kind of really slowed down, and it ended up just, there was a couple guys off the back, and we just kind of just made a little pace line to just get through the last few laps, and just to get our credit, and just powered through it. But so it was an interesting experience.
Well done.
I'll try a few more races here from time to time, but I think I need to watch some of the guys on the team and how they, you know, go through turns and maybe utilize my other hobby, which is photography, and take some photographs of the guys and watch more and see what they do.
Cause it's yeah, maybe do some video.
Skills.
Cool. Yeah, maybe some video even. I don't know. Video might help. Be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll, you know, attach my GoPro to one of the guys' handlebars or something, see what they do.
Right.
We'll see, but it'll be racing season starting, so, you know, I'll be keeping an eye on things and watching people and doing a race from time to time, and we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, congratulations on a great three races already for 2013. That was this month, right?
Yeah, they were in 2012, but I guess they told me they'll credit them towards the 2013 season.
Oh, okay.
So I bought a year license, so we'll see what happens.
Very good. When's the next one? You going to do another one of those upgrade crits, or are there any more? Or?
I can't really race again until February because it's just my schedule, but we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see what looks good.
All right. Well, keep up the good work. We'll keep following you as the season progresses. And anything else you want to add, David?
That's it. Thanks, Brad. Talk
to you later. All right. Thanks for calling in. Have a good one.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Cool. David Karen of Big Orange Cycling in the South Bay here, Los Angeles area. Getting into racing and learning the ropes. And, I would have liked to have seen that turn on the front wheel. Huh? What do you think, Robert?
I was going to say, you know what? That's one of the things you've got to realize when you're racing anything, be it bikes, motorcycles, cars. It's about trusting your equipment. And that's one of the things I try to tell new riders is trust your equipment. Trust your tires. Trust, you know, that they're going to stick, you know? I mean, you do have to learn that point when they finally say, okay, I'm done. But for the most part, you know, you can rail a corner pretty fast on one of these bikes.
Yeah, faster than you might think. So, anyway, speaking of equipment, okay, back to Saigo. Which model? You got a chance to try these out, huh?
Yeah,
cool.
These are mine. You know, this is one of those things that I found the product. I did some research, and we're going to play with the lights in the room here in a second. But, you know, I come from a background of off-road cars.
My eyes! Ow! Yeah. You can't see this on radio. I just blinded myself with the Metro.
I come from the off-road car racing world, and we did a lot of our races at night. I race motorcycles at night. It's kind of my specialty. And when I went into biking, that's one of the things I loved, a night ride. And, you know, nowadays with the day short and you work all day, you get home, and the only time you can ride is at night. So I actually started out building my own lights way back when because they were just outrageously expensive for a poor college, you know, student just out of school just working. So did that and played with lighting for a while. But, you know, at the time, who was it? Knight Rider was the boss. You know, you didn't do anything without Knight Sun. I'm sorry, not Knight Rider. Knight Sun.
Knight Sun. You're dating yourself. That's old. A long time ago. I even remember those.
I have no problem saying I'm old, man.
That was my first good light I used for mountain biking. It was a Knight Sun. Yeah, it had the industrial style looking dual headlight.
Heavy
water bottle battery.
About,
yep.
You know, 6 pounds in the bottle.
Yeah, 2 hour runtime. Yeah.
So we used to do all that, and then technology, you know, has gotten good, and the companies now have started, you know, saying, hey, this is a legitimate market here, and with the 24-hour race series that, you know, they started doing, and everybody jumped on board, started making some lights. So now we have Knight Rider. Everybody knows Knight Rider. But there was this little company coming up called Saigo Light. It kind of a little market there in the background, just to give you a little feedback on them. They were just kind of there making a commuter series light. No one really kind of paid attention to them. But what people don't know about them is that they're actually a bunch of engineers that ride bikes. And they all put their heads together and kind of started putting themselves on the map here. So I did some research, checked out some reviews, other stuff. People were putting lights on, looking at patterns and things like that. And one day I finally said, you know what? I'm going to go give this guy a little try. So I bought myself a Saigo Light Trident X 3 LED light. Now this model I have.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It sounds powerful.
I went big on this guy. I needed light. I like light. I like to go fast at night, so.
That's a triple beam. I'm looking at three headlights, not dual, three.
It's three LEDs, and this particular model in my hand is the 750 lumen, and just, yeah, exactly.
Don't point it at me.
Yeah. It's a torch. I mean, But what's really, you know, it's not spectacular is not the lumen output, because everybody's doing that. The one thing I found about this guy is, one, it's light. I mean, it is lightweight. Battery and headlight together weigh as much as some of the other manufacturers just heads themselves.
I'm holding this in my hand, and for those of you that aren't technically savvy with the grams, it weighs about as much as an empty water bottle.
I would say it's right around there. I actually mount that setup on my stem. The battery goes on my stem, the light goes on the bar, and you don't feel the weight. Not like
previous
HID setups. I mean, you just feel the battery weight. And, you know, we think, okay, everyone's running the same lumens. So that's, you know, it's nothing spectacular, 800 lumens. You can go and buy everybody's 800 lumens. One of the nice things about this setup, this configuration, is they cross the beams. And it's kind of an old race car trick to get real good light. The other button. You cross the beams. It makes an X pattern in front of you, and it gives you a wider view. When you take a look at the profile out on your light, it's kind of like having a spot and two fog lights, and it makes a triangular pattern out in front of you.
So the left beam, the beam on the far left shoots towards the right,
correct,
and the beam on the far right shoots to the left,
correct,
and the one in the middle goes, I guess, straight.
Yeah, and it basically what it does is it tries to give you some distance and it gives you some width, so you got a real good, it's like looking through a triangle of light in front of you. So
that's why you need three beams.
Yeah, the three beams. Now they're doing it also with their dual beam as well. So it's kind of their little trick, and it's one of the way to get light in places where you need it, and without creating too much shadow. So, you know, everybody's talking about, well, we need 1800 lumens. I think that was a classic. Somebody, I saw return an 1800 lumen light. And the reason for return wasn't bright enough.
thought, seriously.
At 1,000 lumens, I can't outride that. And I've used it on my motorcycle, my dirt bike, and it's plenty of light for running decent speeds at night. So on the bicycle, I just the quality of this light, it's something to look at, because it's not going to break your pocketbook. The retail on this light system is, for this model, is anywhere from, and I did everything from retail down to internet prices, but basically they start at like $349 and go down. I've seen them as low as $260. And for a good quality light system, that's actually very affordable.
That is good. Runtime? Yeah, what's a runtime?
This runtime on this one's at full. Now here's a nice thing about this light, and it's just one of the features as well. It's got about a 3.5 hour runtime at high.
Oh,
okay.
That's
now,
pretty good.
They also offer an extra battery as well. Anyway, I better correct that. Hold on a second. Yeah, no. So I'm sorry. Let me go back and correct that runtime. Because I'm thinking of the Metro.
Okay, the Metro's a smaller.
Yeah, the Metro's a smaller guy. An hour 45 at high. And that's at full high, and then you can break down. It's got four modes in it that are programmed at the factory, and you knock it down the lumens. And each time you knock it down, you're adding almost 45 minutes of runtime to your battery. Now, this is the standard battery. They also have an extra battery, which is twice as big as this one, and it doubles your time, of course. And the battery doesn't weigh that much more. It's basically, the packaging says the battery weighs 120 grams. The head weighs 60 grams. So
something for these ultra endurance riders that may have to do something like ram or a 500 miler and ride all night.
Yeah.
They could use the ultra battery, probably two ultra batteries.
The ultra,
because you got 12 hours of darkness.
Yeah, because you can, you know, the high. We don't always need to run high beam.
That's right.
And
right.
One, like I said, they call this the OSP, which is their patent on it, and it's basically on-site programmable. So you can turn this thing on to high, and let's say you don't need to run high all the time. Maybe you need just a little under high. You can actually push the OSP button on it, and it will actually dim it and then set that as your max, and then you can go down and program each mode to the amount of light that you need, that you require. So it's a really awesome setup where you can make it what you want and that will also increase your run times.
So if you're out in the middle of, you know, the desert, you know, Utah desert, you're doing the Hoodoo 500, and there's no lights, there's no street lights. It's a new moon. There's no moon at all. You set it on high. But you got a full moon night, or you're in the city at night, you set it on a little bit less than high,
right?
Yeah,
you can set it. You can set your high to be a little, you know, under. I mean, it's infinitely programmable. And that's what's really nice about this is that you can set it how you need it. If you're, you know, if you got really good night vision or it's really dark, do you really need high? I mean, if you're only going 2 miles per hour, you don't really need a high beam. You know, it's got a walking pace light. So it steps down in lumens. It cuts it down. All programmable, durable, as you can imagine. This thing has been hurled around my garage accidentally.
Dog chewed on it?
Not quite yet. I've kept it away from the dogs. But, you know, the brackets are sturdy. And here's even, I think, the best part of this thing. They're local. They're right here in Santa Ana. You have a problem with the light, you can get on the phone, give them a call, and they're going to take care of you. I think I needed a spare bracket for one of my other bikes. I called them up. I had it like 2 days. I mean, I could have probably driven down there and they would have, you know, given to me right out the door. But I mean, ideally we want to support our local bicycle shops and who carry them. And, you know, the thing is, a lot of people saw CycleLite. Those who've been riding for a long time, we've been in the shops, you saw CycleLite as kind of a low-end commuter light, you know, not very bright. But they've just completely changed it around. If you go onto their website, you can just see all the lights they've come out with. And they're actually simplifying it. Because now that the technology is there, they're making them lighter, they're smaller, the beams are just more, so much more efficient. And with this on-site programming, in reality for them, they're just going to need to make one light with infinite programming abilities. And that's what they're going for. Now, this is more of a competition light, mountain bike light. If you're just, you know, really looking for something small and compact, doesn't take up much, you know, cockpit room. It can go on your helmet. It comes with your battery and extra extension. Mine didn't have the helmet mount. I'm hearing that some of them are coming with the helmet mount now. But even then, I think it was only like a $12 part, if that. And I'm impressed with this light. It's increased my night riding speed, which is probably not a good thing for me. Because it's getting kind of... Sometimes I'm getting a little too quick for being out there by myself at
right.
night.
But, especially in the trails and the mountains, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to ride differently when you're by yourself.
They may not be able to find me.
They'll find your light if it stays on, though.
If I leave the light pointing up, they'll eventually see it, yeah.
Yeah, might have to attach two lights, one for your bike, one for your body, so that if you wind up in the canyon, they can find both.
Yeah, one thing it does have an SOS pattern in it as well. It does have a flashing mode for city driving. The only problem with the flashing mode that I saw was it looks like a strobe light. So if you're susceptible to seizures, you may not want to turn that on and ride with it, because I could definitely see it causing one. But they have a new one for 2013 in the Trident X1100 model, where the strobe is actually, how do they word it? You can actually turn the strobe light on, and it does not affect your vision, the light being put on the ground is still fairly solid, so you can actually ride with the strobe on. With strobes now, you get that flashing mode, and if you're riding in a dark area, you really see the flash. Apparently, and I haven't seen it yet, I'm trying to get a hold
probably
of that
the bulb
one.
That strobes is aimed
it's
a little
aimed
higher
so the oncoming can see the strobe, but yet you are still seeing the ground as you have like a full light on. So that was really nice.
Sounds like these guys have really put a lot of thought into these lights.
They're all riders. They ride, they test, they do field testing, they do lab testing.
Which one is this? Trident
that's
X?
That's a Trident X. That LED. One's actually the 750.
Awesome.
They have the 800 now, which is a dual, and they have the 1100, which is the same as this, just the LEDs are a little bigger now. The other light I picked up, and this is more for are you everyday riders, you casual commuters. This is actually going on my road bike, so if I get caught in the dark, it's just enough light. But it's called the Metro. It's a 300 lumens, also by CycleLite, USB chargeable. So you just plug it into your computer and charges right up. Same thing, 300 lumens for high, and it's got also a strobe, SOS pattern. It's got a low. It's got two different lows, so it's only got three, you know, high, medium, and low, but it's bright enough. Cars are going to see you. It's got also, it's only a single LED, so we don't get that cross pattern, but it's a really nice pattern for your everyday commute or getting stuck in the dark and trying to make it home, or if you just want someone to see you, you know, visibility wise. And it's also super lightweight.
Yeah, this one's about the weight of a half of an empty water bottle, so maybe a small empty water bottle. The other one's like a big empty water bottle.
Yeah, that other one, I mean, this thing, it weighs nothing and affordable. Once again, very affordable. I think retail on this thing was about $50.
Oh, jeez.
And, I mean, it's for the quality. I mean, you can't feel the casing. Like, Brad's sitting here just like, it's smooth. Everything is clean and precise cut and is this quality.
Yeah, it's well machined. Everything fits and is mated well. The pieces go together. I don't see any anything loose on it or anything.
And one of the, a lot of riders complain when they go spend high dollars on lights is their bracket systems. Their brackets just don't seem to hold up. They seem to be loose, wobbly, or they got small pieces that break. These brackets are solid.
It's a quick-release bracket, too.
Yeah, quick-release brackets. They fit all handlebars. I mean, solid thinking behind these bracketry. So very amazing. And like I said, a great price point. Everybody can afford one of these lights. And, you know, go onto their website, which is CYGOLITE.com, and check out their line of lights. And there's a light for you in their product. And like I said, it fits everybody's budgets. So just because you think, oh, you know, it's a high-end light, I can't afford it. Well, you know, hey, I'm a poor school teacher with two kids, so if I can do this, anybody can.
I went out on a trail ride many, many years ago when I was first starting out with what has now become a legendary Wednesday night mountain bike ride that I do religiously every Wednesday night with the guys. Been doing it for 26 years. My first night out, you know, they said, hey, bring a good light. And I was like, nah, I got this little flashlight. It'll work. And I rode a quarter mile and didn't see a log and hit the log and crashed and busted the bracket right off. The Velcroed it on crooked and tried to catch up with the guys, and it was shining crooked as I rolled down farther down the fire road. And at the end of the fire road, there was a two posts and a chain across the fire road before you got onto the pavement.
Sound good?
No, I saw the chain, but it was a little too late, and I kind of turned left, turned right, hit the brakes, hit the chain, flipped over the bike, landed on my back on the pavement. At that point, the cables on the bike broke, and I was stuck in high gear, and that was pretty much the end of my ride in 1 mile. And I tell you, by the next week, I was out there with a night sun back in the day. That was what they had, and you can't underestimate the value of a good light, that's for sure. So.
lighting's key these days. I mean, and the technology, I mean, with all the use of the lithium ion batteries these days, these things are getting smaller, they're getting brighter. Even in the off-road industry with, you know, the cars doing the Bajas, they're using LEDs now. They're using small light bars that are emitting just huge amounts of light. They're so efficient. So, you know, I can't kind of wait to see what else comes down the pipe here, because, I mean, one thing that I'm kind of worried about, though, is that they're going to start getting too bright. We're looking, when you start looking at 2,000 lumens, you start washing out terrain, and that could be a problem. That's one thing about lighting is you just need that right amount, because you get too bright, you get the wrong color, you get the wrong aiming, you start eliminating features. They start disappearing, and you don't see them until you hit them. So, you know, some shadowing is good. Shadowing is what you need to kind of read terrain. But, you know, it's nice to see around as well. You know, you can see the curve, the turn coming up and whatnot. So,
wow. I want one.
Yeah, these are definitely the way to go.
Next time I need to upgrade, I will probably be definitely looking for Saigo. And tell us again where we find them, Saigo lights.
Saigo light, they're available in most local bike shops. Some of the big chains carry them as well.
CYGO.
The website is CYGOLITE.com. And
CYGOLITE.com.
Yeah, take a look on their website. You'll see all the lines. And they're simplifying it now, so they're using the technology across the line, right, and just simplifying their lineup. So that's good because they don't have so many to offer, and you know, prices get out of control. They're just narrowing it down to what is in demand, what works, and there's your offering.
Yeah, all right. Good timing with the product review, too, because the days are still short right now in this winter time of the year. So anything else you want to add, Robert?
Nope, I think we're good there. So look for some more product lines. Like, I'm also going to take a look at a couple other lights, too, give some more feedback on those. And we'll keep going here with this product reviews. We're looking forward to seeing what else is out there.
Thanks, you. Thanks for the product review, Robert. Thanks so much for coming in.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
All right. So we were talking about we got some sounds from the Steve Bowen Memorial Donut Ride. This is a weekly Saturday ride called the Donut Ride, but last Saturday was a ride in his honor. Over 250 people. Bennett, no, we don't eat donuts during the ride. Actually, the ride got its name from the starting location down there in the South Bay. It used to start at a Winchell's donut shop. And, of course, the times have changed, and now that Winchell's is a Starbucks. We don't call it the Starbucks ride. We still call it the Donut Ride. So, very sad thing, Steve Bowen. He was a concert pianist also, excellent on the piano as well. And he changed careers when he decided to buy a bike shop. Not many people know that he was an expert pianist, piano player, and I saw some. I believe he did some work with George Gershwin too. I'm not sure if he did arrangements for George Gershwin, but he was also involved with that concert as well. So enjoy some sounds and some memories. Some people talking on the Steve Bowen Memorial Donut Ride coming up right here on Bike Sport Radio.
I would like this ride to go 2x2, not in a big bunch. It's going to be a slow ride. So if you would please turn to the person next to you and say, we're riding 2x2 today, so that everybody gets the message. Please say it, because everybody back there can't hear me. So please turn to the person next to you.
Everybody's there.
Does everybody understand? Raise your hand if you understand we're riding 2x2.
2x2!
Raise your hand if you understand. In the far back, they're looking kind of clueless back there. Do you understand it's 2x2? Please pass the word back. Just turn around and say 2x2. I know you've already said it. Put your hands up if you understand 2x2. Okay. Today we're riding on behalf of our dear friend Stephen Bowen. For those of you who knew Steve, he'll never be replaced. For those of you who did not know him, but have been thoughtful enough to come out and join us, I can only offer my heartfelt thanks. I'd like to ask everyone who is so inclined to please close their eyes for just a brief moment of silence. Ride is going to go along the donut route, except we're not going down Paseo Del Mar. We're staying on PV Drive the entire way to the switchbacks. We're going to go up the switchbacks. There's going to be no stopping. There's going to be no regrouping. And we're going to come back down by the reservoir. We're going to get back on PV Drive and go to Catalina Coffee. The manager of Catalina Coffee has graciously offered coffee and tea to anyone that wants to come. We're going to have a card that we can sign that's going to be given to Steve's family. I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to also ask on behalf of Steve that if you see people riding unsafely or dashing ahead or treating this as anything other than a memorial ride, to please gently remind them to fall back and ride two by two. The point for today is to ride safely, as Steve would have wanted us to ride. Thanks to each and every one of you. Let's roll.
All right, thank you.
All right, we are rolling along near the Tirani area, listening to some of the banter on a beautiful day for a memorial ride. Is there such a thing as a beautiful day for a memorial ride? No, I guess not.
Of course there is.
Of course
there
is.
How many miles did you get in last year?
You don't want to have a memorial ride.
Well, I don't want to. No.
We don't want to have a memorial. Yeah. I mean,
how many miles did you get in? Did you make
12,000 miles last year. I made my goal. But I was struggling. The last few days
you
I was.
Dirt miles, Brad?
I counted dirt miles.
Did you give them any extra weight?
No.
Wow, that's good then.
I did not.
That's good then.
Yeah, dirt miles are like 1.3, maybe, really 1.5, maybe. Yeah, I counted them as is.
Wow, that's pretty good. Really respectable.
How much altitude?
Yeah, I don't have a Garmin, so I don't know.
I just got a new smartphone. Keep track of it unless, of course, you answer the phone in the middle of the ride, then it shuts off. Right?
Oh, bummer.
I'm waiting for a different map somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Because the map my ride for the Windows phone doesn't work well.
Right.
It was pretty cool, though. I did it on my run yesterday.
Huh. So were you a customer up there, PV Bikes?
I've been up there for a few little
sometimes.
Little stuff.
Yeah.
Not really a specialized guy, but I do a few things. I sent some people up there to look at things.
Yeah.
Now, who's going to run the place?
I don't know. They don't know yet.
I would.
That's super early close. You would?
How much does it cost it?
I don't know.
Get into a bike shop like that.
Put in a bid. He was a sponsor of some of my cyclocross races, too. Really nice car. Well,
it's a couple hundred grand.
I'm sure his family's interested in some kind of deal with somebody somewhere, but you never know. Well, you can make a small fortune in the bike industry, but you know how? There's probably a phone number on the wall. And you know how to make a small fortune in the bike industry. You start with a large fortune.
I know that. I know that.
That's what they say.
Tony does all right.
But I would use Contact Specialized because they're a concept shop for specialized.
They'll help you out.
Yeah. But they're already involved in that one, so they'll know who to contact. All right, here we go on the downhill. All right, we're here at the slide area in PV on Bike Sport Radio on the Steve Bowen Memorial Ride. I'm with Kevin. Kevin, or on the radio. Were you, hey.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Were you a customer of PV Bicycle Center at all? Or?
Yeah, a little bit. Just I went up there and bought a few things here and there. Always sent a few people up there and check out his bikes. He always had the greatest service as far as friendship and making sure you felt at home there. Really great.
Yeah, and dog-friendly shop, definitely. What was his dog's name? He had the dog in there all the time. Nice guy. Such a nice guy. Such a shame. Yeah.
Peanut.
Peanut, the dog. Peanut the dog. That's right. And what a turnout for the Steve Bowen Memorial Ride here. We'll be coming back at you later on Bike Sport Radio. We're on the switchbacks now.
All right. Exceptionally mobile.
Rico.
All right.
That's cute. That's sweet. Did you have a good New Year there, Brad?
I did.
Good.
I stayed out of the melee and the massacres and stayed home, slept in late, and went and did a nice, easy 30-mile ride with about 10 people.
Good.
After doing the 12,000 miles for the year, I needed a break, so
Yep.
Were you a customer of Steve's at all up there?
I don't even know. I'm sorry. I don't know him.
Nice guy.
Sure he was. I can see all the people out.
I know. They say you can judge a person's character by the number of people that attend their services. Oh, I think you'll have this many.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think I will either.
Not me. You might.
Yeah. Might. Might be some people celebrating.
Aww.
All right. What do we have, 200 out here today?
Yeah. I thought it was more than 200. Count them.
Yeah. Count when we get to the top. We're on switchback number 3. Yeah, big turnout. Great weather for the Bowen Memorial ride.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California, and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org, or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
All right, that's right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate your patronage out here at Bike Sport Radio. And hey, a little bike advocate note for everybody. Motorists out there, hey, we're not criminals, so stop treating us like one. Cycling is not a crime. Remember that. And drive your bike safely, everybody. We'll see you next time on Bike Sport Radio.
I don't remember much except just keep your hands on the wheel.